We are thrilled that you joined us today. The message you're about to hear is filled with the life-changing power of God's Word. We would love for you to share with us how God has impacted your life through this message. Visit us at riverrochester.com or attend any of our services at the River Church in Brockport, New York. Thanks again for joining us, and we hope that you enjoy today's message.
So we're going to give everyone now an opportunity to sow. Sow their seed and tithes and offerings into the kingdom of God. Again, nobody here is under any obligation whatsoever. We just pray that people hear the word and become doers of the word. And look, I know I took much longer than I typically do sharing on that today. I very rarely go this long when I talk about tithes and offerings, but I just felt like that was something that we needed to do. We do that every once in a while. Typically on a Sunday, I mean, if you're newer here, typically on a Sunday, I might mention a scripture and share, you know, a few minutes on why we give and we're blessed to be a blessing and so forth. So this isn't like every Sunday I come in here and, man, I'm going to hammer these people with a giving message and I'm going to make sure that every single one of them are giving and so on and so forth. You know, because for me, I know where my source is. I know who my source is. I know my provision is not from any member of the church in and of themselves, but it's from the blessing of Almighty God. And He's the one who called us to put this ministry here, and we understand that He's the one that provides for us. But if you want that to be the case for you, if you want to know that God is the one providing for you, just as I'm bold to declare that, that I know that God will provide for us, that He'll make the way, well, then you have to be a doer of the word so that you can stand and say, God, I thank you that as a tither and as a giver, I am blessed, that you're pouring out a blessing on top of my life that is so great that I won't be able to contain it, that my storehouses are blessed, that they're overflowing, that you've rebuked the devourer for my sake. I thank you that as I go about this world, that all nations call me blessed. And you can claim that if you put it to action. Amen? So, Heavenly Father, we thank you that as we sow seed into your kingdom, Lord, that your word is true. I thank you that you are pouring out a blessing so great that we won't be able to contain it. That people will look at the members of this church, that people will look at this church and say, what is with those people? How do they do what they do? How do they pay cash for buildings? How do they pay cash for homes? How are they driving such nice cars? How are they so blessed? And we'll be able to say, we give all the glory to God who pours out such a blessing. Such a blessing that we can't even contain it, in Jesus' mighty name. And if you believe that and receive that, say amen. And let's sow our offering this morning. And then I'll see if I have any time left to share my actual message for today. That was just the introduction to today's message. I have about 10 minutes left. Did you guys learn something from that?
Yes.
Okay. Good. Like I say, it's not just good enough to just do things for the sake of doing them. We need to know. We need to know, why is it that we should do these things? What are the benefits of me doing these things? All right, so let's go on to confession. And I don't know if I mentioned this last week, but I actually, and maybe I'll just get, you know, with the remainder of the time that I have today, I won't get into new material, but I'll just finish up with what I was sharing last week. Last week, I was finishing up talking about how we can get what we want, how we can have what we want, how we can have what we say. Remember the example of centurion who said to Jesus, you don't actually need to come to my house to lay hands on my servant, but speak the word and he will be healed. And Jesus said, such great faith have I not seen in all Israel, because that man understood the authority of the word of God, of speaking the word. So that's what Jesus called great faith. And if it was great for that Roman centurion who wasn't even a Jew, who wasn't even a member of the family of God at that point, if it was great faith for him, it's great faith for you and me. Amen? And then we talked about the woman with the issue of blood and how she said, you know, we always focus how she went up and she touched the hem of Jesus' garment. And when she did that, Jesus felt power or virtue flowing out from him and it healed that woman. But sometimes what we look over is the fact that it says, for she said, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I will be healed. She said it before she did anything about it. Before she actually pushed her way through that crowd and grabbed onto Jesus' garment, she made a confession of her faith. She said, you say something with your mouth. This is what we're talking about. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 23. Life and death and life are in the power of the tongue. So when we say something, when we speak something like that, when that woman was doing that, she was putting that principle to action, that all I have to do, reach out and touch it, and when I do that, I will be healed. You can get what you want from God. You can take what you want from God. And I say that not as an arrogant thing, but as a principle, as a law of faith. Jesus even said it himself, that if we say to this mountain, be picked up and thrown into the sea, if we don't doubt in our heart, but believe those things that we say, when we say them, we will have them. So Jesus was also making this law very apparent to the people that were listening to him, that by believing something in our heart and saying something with our mouth, we can get what we need and what we want from God. Amen? Now, Ephesians, I think I might have mentioned this Wednesday night, but Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 27, you don't really have to turn there because there's only six words in this verse. All right? It says, nor give place to the devil. Means don't give place to the devil. Which implies that I could give place to the devil. Right? He's saying don't do it. Which implies that I can do it. So it's my job, because you see, we tend to think that it's God's job to protect us from the devil. And like I just read from Malachi, God rebukes the devourer for our sake. But it's our job to enforce that the devil takes his grimy, grubby, dirty paws off our life. Amen? Because he will try it. And we said last week how the devil goes about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. How he has, remember, the wiles of the devil, which were the schemes, the strategies, the plans. He's this crafty little bugger that's trying to get his hands into your life. If he can get in with sickness, if he can get in with poverty, if he can get in with disease, if he can get in with gossip, if he can get in with animosity, if he can get in with jealousy, however he can find, maybe unforgiveness, if however he can find a way into your life so that he can rob you of blessing in this life, he will try to do it. And that's why Paul was saying, don't give place to the devil. He's saying it's your responsibility that the devil has no place in your life. And if the devil has no place in my life, then the effects of the devil, the effects of sin will not have any place in my life. If I don't allow him near my family, sickness won't be near my family. And so I was sharing this, I think, Wednesday night, that the devil doesn't come as the red horned figure with a trident. You know, I'm here to kill, steal, and destroy from you today, Jordan. I want to, you know, that's not, has the devil ever appeared to you? Do you know most often how the devil comes? He comes based on the authority that we give him to operate in our life, because death and life are in the power of the tongue. Death and life. Death comes from sin, which came from the serpent who deceived Eve. So death is attributed to the work of Satan, and that death is in the power of the tongue. So is life. But most often, the way that the devil finds his way into your life through, and when I say the devil, the manifestations of the devil, all these negative attributes of the curse, they find themselves most likely in your life because of the words that we're speaking. Most often, death rather than life. Now, prior to this teaching and prior to people coming here, maybe this is totally new for you. Maybe you didn't think that your words actually meant anything, but they do. And now you can realize that I can actually change my life situation just by changing the words, because the devil is listening. Now, the devil, he's not omnipresent like God is, where God through the Holy Spirit can be all throughout the earth at one time. But the devil has 1/3 of innumerable. Now, mathematically, I don't understand that equation, because to me, like, 1/3 of innumerable is still innumerable, right? But whatever. I think when God said that it's 1/3 of innumerable, I think he just meant that there's just too many to be counted. All right, so whatever that number was, let's just say it's 50 trillion. The devil has 1/3 of 50 trillion. All right? What's that, like 16.3 trillion? All right, look, I'm just making up an example, all right? But whatever the number of angels is, if God says that they're innumerable, you can just take it to the bank that there's a lot, right? So the devil has 1/3 of those. That means that's probably enough for one person, at least, on the earth. So there's probably a devil listening to what you say. And so what happens is when you line your mouth up, your words, with what the devil wants, there's something there, an evil spirit, I guarantee. I don't know. I've never seen one. I'm not looking to see one. I don't want to know that they're there. I'm just making an assumption that when I say something, there's probably a devil that hears me. And he is going to report back to headquarters, hey, did you hear Jeremiah? He just said that he's not feeling well and that he's starting to get sick. Let's make sure that that happens really well for him. And they go and they get some friends and they bring some real strong sickness on you. And then the thing is that, have you ever heard the expression hung with the tongue? No? All right, maybe that's prior to this generation. I don't know, it's an old expression, I think. But either way, the point is that people, the devil is a legalist, and he will hold you to the words that you speak. When we say those words, that empowers the demonic forces. It gives them the right or the authority. You're right, the devil is rebuked. The devourer has been rebuked off of your life. But when I say words that line up with death and sickness, it gives him the authority or the ability to easily come in. So Paul said, don't give place to the devil. Don't allow it in. Don't allow sickness in. Don't allow any of that. And the majority of the time, he comes in through our mouth. So don't allow the devil to give you a defeated mindset. Don't allow him to give you a poverty mindset. Don't allow him sickness to stay on you, but rather do the opposite and speak life. And we've been doing this whole series. We've been learning to speak life. We've been making confessions here in church. And you know what? I'm going to get ahead of myself and skip last week's notes just for a second and tell you one of these things. All right, so if I give you a key, does your understanding of the key actually matter? Think about it. When you got your first car, you went to a dealership or you went to a guy down the street selling the car, and you put your cash on the table and you gave it to him and he gave you a key, did you understand how that key functioned? Did you understand that when I put like this little jagged piece of metal into my car and turn this thing, did you understand the complexities of what was going on? To be honest, I still don't. I don't understand how a motor works, how gasoline goes in and causes these mini explosions or whatever that causes the cylinders to go up and down, whatever. Brian could explain that to you, but I have no clue what I'm talking about. I probably just botched that whole thing. Either way, that's my point. I have no idea how it works, but what I understand is that this key activates the vessel that's going to take me to where I want to go, right? So I don't need to know how my car works. I just need to know that it works, right? So Jesus has given us several keys in the Bible. Let's just look real quick at a couple of these keys, because I was going to go with last week's message, but I'm turning it into this week's message anyway, because it all kind of blends together anyway. Keys of confession. John chapter 15 and verse 16. The Gospel according to St. John chapter 15. And don't worry, we're going to wind down here shortly. Go home and have a snowball fight. All right, John chapter 15 and verse 16 says, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you." All right, who's talking here? Jesus, right? And who does he say that we should ask? The Father, right? So You know, this is why when I go to make confessions, why I say, thank you, Father God. You know, I know it might sound funny because we're all used to praying to Jesus. But who did Jesus tell us that we're to pray to? The Father. Jesus told us. You know, I'm gonna read it in a second, but Jesus told us, he gave us the use of his name, but he said that we're to use that name with conjunction to praying to the Father. So that is a key. I have no idea how it works or why it works. I don't understand why Jesus said that I should pray to the Father and that in the name of Jesus, when I pray to the Father, so I thank you, Father God, in the name of Jesus, I'm healed. I don't understand why it works. But does that matter? It only matters that it works, right? Not how or why it works. I don't really get it. Maybe you're way smarter than me, like Brian is with cars. Maybe there's an astute scholar here of the Word of God that could explain to me all the ways and why and the reason and of why it works. But I don't know that. I'm maybe too simple-minded, all right? But I do understand that it works. So when I go to make a confession, when I go to pray, I pray to Jesus and I, you know, when we say confession, really what it is just praying. When we're speaking the word, we're talking to Father God, we're claiming this over life, our life, it's a form of communicating with God. It's a way of praying to God, just speaking his word over us. All right? So that's why, you know, that's, you know, because all the last month or so, we've been making confessions and we're saying, I thank you, Father God, for this, this, and this. And that's why. It's not that I'm trying to be weird or, you know, maybe it's different because we're used to just praying to Jesus. But Jesus told us that we're not to pray to Jesus, that we're to pray to God the Father in the name of Jesus, right? Now, the way most people pray, dear Father God, thank you, Jesus, for today. Father God, you're just so good, Father God. Thank you, Jesus, for blessing this food. Jesus, you're so awesome, and we just want to bless you, Father God. Jesus, thank you for my dog and that, Jesus, that you've given him health. And Lord, bless the mailman for bringing me his mail in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father God. And Holy Spirit, thank you that you surround him. You know, so if... I'm just saying, like, that's typically how a lot of people like to pray, all right? If I'm having a conversation with Brian and I'm like, hey, Brian, how's it going, Brian? Brian, what are you doing today, Brian? Brian, what did you eat for dinner? Oh, you're having chicken and waffles, Brian? Brian, how was the chicken and waffles? Like, wouldn't you get annoyed after more than 6 seconds of me saying your name, Brian? Right? God is an intelligent being, all right? So, look, I know this is also a technicality, and sometimes these types of things get overlooked, but it's a key that works. When we pray to the Father God in the name of Jesus, and it says that when we do that, we will get whatever we say, right? You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father, in my name, he may give you. That sounds pretty good, right? Whatever I ask Father God, in the name of Jesus, he will give it to me. That sounds fantastic. I mean, that's about as good as it could get right there, right? All I have to do is go to Father God, in the name of Jesus, and ask for something, and whatever I ask for, he will give it to me. That's what the Word of God says. Now, I mean, it actually, Jesus repeats himself in John 16 and verse 23, but for the sake of time, we'll just skip back to John chapter 15 and verse 1. You should already be in John 15. Just go up to verse 1 and understand that John, what was that verse we read? Verse 16, that's obviously written after verse 1, correct? So even though I had us read that verse first, what we're about to read comes before it. So this comes before it, and it must mean that this part that we're about to read must be in place in order for verse 16 to work. Because, I mean, it sounds really great that we can just ask God the Father for whatever we want in the name of Jesus, and it will be given to us, but it goes in conjunction to the verses that went before it. Verse 1, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. Verse 5. I am the vine, and you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, bears much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, verse 7, if it's not highlighted in your Bible, if you have a highlighter, highlight it. If you have a pen, put a star next to it. If you have, whatever you got to do to mark this up and understand this, verse 7 is extremely important. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. That's fantastic. But the thing is, like I said, this has to go before verse 16 comes to pass, is that I have to have God's word abiding in me. If God's word is abiding in me, I know that it's wrong for me to go to Father God and ask in the name of Jesus for my neighbor's wife. Right? If I go to Father God and ask for a get-rich-quick scheme, I understand that Proverbs talks against quick get-rich-quick schemes. Right? So I have to understand the Word of God in order to be able to go to Father God and ask in the name of Jesus for whatever I want. So it's really good that we can get whatever we want from God the Father, but it also means that I have to really be able to understand what the word is saying. And if I have the word abiding in me, then I should be able to understand it. So I have healing abiding in me because I understand that Jesus died for us and that by his stripes you were healed, right? I understand that I don't have to suffer from demonic oppression because whom the Son sets free is free indeed, right? I understand that I have love, joy, peace from the Holy Ghost, right? When I get that word abiding in me, because Jesus said that if his words abide in me, I have that down here in my spirit, in my heart, that when I ask the Father God for whatever I ask in the name of Jesus, again, according to his will, it will be done for me by Father God. I love that. Because that means all I got to do is figure out what God has said in his word that I can have, and then I can go to him and say, God, your word says that I can have this. I thank you by faith that I have it now. Amen? And that's why these confessions are so important. Right? That when we make a confession directly from the word of God, it leaves no room for error. Right? That means the word is abiding in me, and like I literally have the word right here, and so I'm going to God the Father in the name of Jesus and thanking him for the things to manifest which he has told me I have. So I can make faith confessions and believe them and receive them now. There's a scripture that says you know what, let me just go through a few of these, and I have like this thing that I'm writing up, and I'm going to make it available for everyone. It's still a work in progress, but it's a series of confessions that I speak over my life, preferably every day, preferably twice a day. But these confessions are literally just things that I'm taking from the Word of God and making sure that I'm saying in my life. So, what's great is that I'm putting the scriptures right under them, so I know that what I'm saying is not just like Pastor Jeremiah's wild ideas about who he thinks he is. I'm confessing what God thinks that I am, what God sees me as, what God says about me. Not what I think about me, not what the doctor thinks about me, or the bank thinks about me. I'm saying what God says about me. So I say, thank you, Father God. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. And you might think, well, I don't feel righteous. Faith isn't by feelings, right? Faith was accredited to Abraham, or righteousness was accredited to Abraham because of his faith. So righteousness is when we've been washed in the blood of Jesus, you get that righteousness. It's because of what Jesus did, not because of what you did. And if you've sinned, if you've messed up, 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to wash us, cleanse us from all unrighteousness, right? So I go down through and I say, thank you, Father God, I have the mind of Christ. And, you know, all the scriptures I have right here, 1 Corinthians 2:16, for who has known the mind of the Lord that we may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. So right there I know, I have the mind of Christ. Because, why? The Word of God says I have the mind of Christ. I have the wisdom of God in me, 1 Corinthians 1, verse 30. But of him, you who are in Christ, who became for us wisdom of God. We have the wisdom of God in us. Man, there's so many. I'm just trying to pick out a couple of these. Oh, here's one that I was trying to get you. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10 says, for we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for his good works. Now, my father, he's a carpenter. So if he creates a table, you would call that his workmanship, correct? What does the Bible call us in Ephesians 2:10? I just read it. His workmanship. Now, understand that my father, he is a carpenter and he does a fantastic job, but from time to time, he has the ability to make a mistake. I'm not saying that he ever has or ever would, but I'm saying that he has the capability, the possibility of making a mistake. But we know that God can't make mistakes, right? Ephesians chapter 2 says that I am God's workmanship, that God has created me. And sometimes, you know, when we've messed up or when we get to feeling down about ourselves, we feel like God screwed up somehow. But understand that that is a lie from the enemy, because you are God's workmanship and God cannot make mistakes. The way he created you is just the way that he wanted you. So this is that's actually, you know, I go through and I say, thank you, Father God. I am your workmanship and you don't make mistakes. I'm reminding myself that I am designed and created exactly the way that God wanted me to be. Maybe I don't like my nose. Maybe I don't like my eyebrows. Maybe I don't like my lack of six-pack. I mean, that's not God's fault. That's mine. But, you know... You know, for what I control, you know, the things that are beyond my control, of course, there's like Botox and, you know, you can get anything removed or added on these days. But, you know, I can just thank God that he created me in his workmanship exactly the way that he wanted me. And I don't have to, like, you know, feel down about myself. Maybe you don't like God's workmanship the way he created me. But I do. Because that's the way that God created me. And that's what matters. Amen? I say this, according to Romans 6:11, it says, likewise, you also reckon yourselves dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. So maybe you're struggling with sin. Here's something good that you could say about yourself every single day. Thank you, Father God. I am dead to sin. I am alive in you. Sin has no power in my life. All I'm doing is just speaking the word of God. I'm speaking life into my situation, and someone might sound like, yeah, but that's contradicting the circumstances because I just sinned. Right. I am speaking this by faith. Faith isn't based on what it sees, experiences, or feels, and you still have to do the word. You still go and you confess your sins to Jesus, and you thank him that he's washed you in the blood and that he's redeemed you from the curse of the law, but make this your confession daily. I thank you, God, that the power of, that I am dead to sin, its power is broken off my life. I'm free from sin. 2 Corinthians 2 and verse 14 says, now thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ. That sounds pretty good, right? Jesus, that we're always led in triumph. So this is what I say. Thank you, Father God. You always lead me in triumph through Christ. If God is always leading me to triumph, I'm always winning. I'm always in victory. Amen? Now, that's just a few, and I have like pages of these. But I'm making up this list that's going to have them for every area of my life, for healing, for financial prosperity, for family, for marriage, for all these things. And then if you want them, just let us know, send us an email or something, and we'll make them available to you. But you can even do this on your own. You don't have to wait for my list. All I'm doing is going through the Word, taking a scripture, seeing what God's Word says about me, and then speaking that out. Because that is giving, just as you can give the devil authority to operate in your life, you can give God authority to operate in your life through speaking the words of life, through speaking the Word of God. Amen?
Thanks for listening to this message from the River Church. We hope you stay connected with us online at riverrochester.com.